First Chronicles chapter 21. Maybe you'll see Samuel and Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, and then you're going to come to Chronicles. I encourage you to find a place where you can see the Word of God. And so take some time to find the chapter. First Chronicles chapter 21. Talking about giving, and giving, when we think about giving, monetary, but more than that, giving of ourselves. I think probably if we give ourselves, other things will fall into place. We see somebody with a very willing heart to give, and our text, we're gonna read the text. I'm gonna ask you to stand. We're gonna read the text, and then we're gonna back up and then talk about how we got there with that. In 1 Chronicles 21, verse 23, we see a man named Ornan. And I do want to tell you that he's not mentioned a whole lot. He's mainly in this book, and it's all around this story. Other places you find him mentioned, just one or two places. And in 2 Samuel, you find his name is Arona, and it's the same name as Ornan. Okay, so you know that if you come across that name, it still tells the story, but it uses that name. In verse 23, stand with me, please. Verse 23 reads this. It says, "And Ornan said unto David, Take it to thee, and let my lord thy king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning, we'd ask you again, our God, that you'd help us as we desire to look into your word. And we pray you take this story that was given around Ornan, and Lord, that you'd help us to apply it to our life today in this 20th century. And so, God, please mightily move in our hearts and in our lives, and may we each allow you to use this sermon beyond words, Father. I certainly have not the ability to be able to reach deep into the heart and soul of man. We pray today that you would use this vehicle of words and the Holy Spirit to speak freely to our lives here today. And may we be able to look back in moments to come, it's past, and say that you spoke to our heart this day. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me go back and grab the story a little bit, and you can read this story, like I say, in other places. This does give us insight. This is the only place that gives us insight to the story when it first happened. When it first happened, it happened back in Samuel, and David became king, and this is one of the downfalls of David. David had many great qualities, but he had some flaws when he was out, when he should have been out fighting and battling. He stayed home. It cost him a lot of problems. But also, here, he, for some reason, that he yielded to the devil in this situation because he gives into him on numbering his people. And he has a general named Joab. Joab knows also this is not a good thing, because what it's counting is not that you couldn't number and count people. But this was that they were counting on people for that amounted to, that was their strength. And their victory was an amount of people they had. Well, that's not true. Victory is in God. Amen. Victory is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And numbers can be very deceptive. And look who caused this. And this is the only place in Scripture that you really get the insight of who caused this in David's life. And look in this verse, chapter 21, verse 1 of this chapter. And say that word, Satan. By the way, he is real and he's alive and he's working today. And it says there, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." Now, you know, I don't know if David realized that, obviously he did not realize that Satan was working in his life and getting to that. I wish I could say that the devil's never worked in my life. I wish I could say that I never yielded to him. And so as I look at David, I have to say, you know what, that was a dumb thing. I have to look at my own life and say, you know, there's been some things in my life, that's a dumb thing. And it could be the flesh. It could be that old nature. But it could be the devil himself. I allowed him to manipulate me. I allowed him to do some things and allowed some thinking that shouldn't be and caused me to do something that I shouldn't have done. And I think we've all been there. We're all guilty of that in times of our life. And David did this. I mean, David, the man, if anybody would know the strength was in God and not in numbers, would be David. From the very beginning that we've seen David in his makings, when he went out and he wouldn't accept the armor of Saul. He wouldn't accept the sword. He wore a shepherd's outfit. He took his little sling and his little pouch, and he went down into that valley, and he reached down into the stream, and he reached into that. Now, if you're a black folk, you'd have to say it better than this. I mean, I love the way that some preachers can just express himself. They would say there's a rippling brook there. He reached his little ruddy hand into that and picked out five smooth stones, you know, and put it in a pouch and picked out one of them, put it in a sling, you know, and then he would go out there. But who was David trusting in? God. He wasn't trusting really in the power of David. He wasn't trusting in the power of that sling. He was trusting in God. And David, when Goliath said, you know, he's like, you mock me. What is this? You know, this little guy, I'm going to feed you to the dogs. I'm going to feed you to the ravens, you know. And David comes running at him with no fear, but trust in God. And David knew as God delivered the lion and the bear, and he delivered sheep right out of their mouth, God's going to deliver Goliath into my hands. God's going to do this. David had great faith. So this is really something for the devil to move David in such a way. Are you following me? Something you wouldn't think, oh, I would say David wouldn't do that. But he did. And so the story goes on, and Joab even warns him in the next couple of verses. And just for sake of reading a few verses, look at verse 3. It says, and Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. Now listen, Joab wasn't a spiritual giant, in case you don't know that. But he had it right here. He had it right. That even Joab, this man, no, I'll tell you, Joab knew this. When I go out, God goes out and he fights with us. I've seen God bring victory to Israel over and over and over. David, don't be trusting in numbers. I don't want a number of people. By the way, if you read this whole story, Joab yields because he's king. And he goes to numbers, but he has a real rebellion in here because there's two tribes he doesn't number in this story. He just doesn't give David the number. He just refuses to say, you know, that's just abominable, and I'm not going to do it. I mean, this man is now operating better than and with more spiritual sense than David has. Well, he numbered the people, and a great problem came because of this. God, and David knew it. I mean, right after it happened, David knew he did wrong, but God sent his man. He sent him to him to tell him, you're in trouble now. And David knew he was in trouble. Now, for you theologians, I hope someday you would help me with this. And it is a question that I've pondered. It's a question that some of you have asked and pondered. But 70,000 people are going to die because of this sin right here. 70,000 people. And I've asked myself, and I really haven't had an answer satisfactory yet, that, you know, I know that Romans chapter 14 teaches this, no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. And I may not have all the answers, but this answer I have, that our life affects other people, mark it down. And I don't know why it was David's problem, and David should have been, you know, David should have got the tar beat out of him. Instead, 70,000 people died because of the sin of David. So, if you're a great theologian, please enlighten me why other people paid such a great cost for David's sin. But they did in this story. And Nathan comes to him, and Nathan says, you know, because of your sin, Nathan's the prophet, he comes to him, and because of your sin, God's going to let you pick out of three judgments. You pick which judgment. And you find this down in verse 12. It says, either 3 years famine, 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while the sword of thy enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land. And so David, what he does, I'll tell you, David knows God. Because he does this, he tells God, I'm not going to pick, I'm going to let you pick. Because I know you're merciful, you're kind. You know, I would have added some more gracious, loving, you know, try to, you know, really juice this up some. But he lets God pick, and God picks. Which one would you have picked if you didn't know the answer? I'd have picked the 3 days, you know. So, and that's what God picked. God picked the 3 days of pestilence. But in 3 days, 70,000 people die in 3 days. And that's just a tremendous amount of people. You know, New Philadelphia has 12,000 people. 12,000, 13,000 varies, probably between 12,000 to 14,000. Dover has similar. So more than Dover and Philly. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's a lot. You get it. The city limits of Canton has 90,000 people. And the city limits of Canton, Ohio. Just get 70,000 people is a lot of people to die for this sin of David. You wouldn't think, boy, numbering doesn't seem that serious, does it? It's a serious thing to not trust in a living God, to trust in the muscle of man rather than the might of God. I always like the Almighty God. I like that phrase for God, one of his attributes, Almighty God. Well, the plague comes, and it's devastating the people. And the pestilence comes, devastating the people. And this is where our story comes into play. If you back up a little bit, what happens is David is the angel that is bringing this destruction is coming to Jerusalem. And David could see this angel with his sword drawn that was going to strike the city. And he came to the mount of Ornan. And we pick up in verse 20 in this story. And it says, and Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. And so Ornan saw the angel. He saw that he's got a flaming sword drawn, about to bring it down on judgment on Jerusalem, which would be more deaths. And David sees it as well. In verse 21, and it says, and David came to Ornan. Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor. Now, how many of you know what a threshing floor is? Ever looked at? Okay, so not a lot. But a threshing floor, you would see, it would be a place where they would go and they would harvest in the wheat, and they'd harvest that in around them. Then the threshing floor would be where they would separate everything from the wheat, and they had threshing instruments there, and they had oxen that would, you know, grind the stuff and everything, hook them up to different threshing instruments that would help them to make that wheat, and then they would haul it away from there. And so they have that, and it was a great big pile in the middle of this, kind of the way I look at it. But anyway, it would take oxen, it would take men, and it would take this threshing instruments that were used, wooden instruments. And probably, I checked, I tried to call some folks that were Amish yesterday and ask them about some of this, because we still have Amish people that do this. And so I was going to ask them some personal things, but I never got a call back. You say, how do you call an Amish man? I won't go into all of it, but there is ways. But anyway, I didn't get a call back to find out. I wanted to know some personal things about this. But when I see this, and if you've never had a chance to look at it in a picture, if you can find look up on the web or something, just push it in, and you'll get a picture of what this scene is. It'll help you with these instruments that he offers. But anyway, David sees this. They come up on this mount, and David decides to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. In verse 22, it says, then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, and I may build an altar therein unto the Lord, and thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord thy king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for the wood, and wheat for the meat offering, And then these words, I give it all. And so what happens is David offers up this sacrifice unto God on this mount, and the plague stays. The angel sheathes its sword, kind of like a hot, fiery sword, puts the fire out into the sheath, and the plague is stayed. So we have an interesting story to ponder here of what took place. So you got the whole view here, best I can give it in a short amount of time that we have. We have David's sin, his senses. We have David's sorrow. He sees what he has caused other people, the deaths and the pain and hurt upon other people. And we see David's sacrifice here as well that stopped and stayed the play of God's judgment. And praise the Lord for that. I can say this, that I'm glad that in our lives, the judgment of our sin is Jesus Christ has stayed that stay. God sheathed his sword with judgment against us because Christ paid the debt for us. Amen. And so if you don't have that, you still stand underneath the condemnation, the judgment of God. If you don't have forgiveness and you know that in your life and heart, I would ask you to seek that today. This mount is an interesting mount that all this takes place on. The first point is simply this, that God wanted what Ornan had. David come up and ask for this threshing area. He didn't ask for the instruments. He didn't ask for the oxen. He asked for this area. And Ornan yielded that to him and more than willing. And I can't help but to think, there's times in life that God wants what we have. And Ornan gave God what he had. And I ask myself this question in life. There's more that God wants of us. He wants us saved, but being saved is not the end. And being saved is the beginning of life, not the end of life. It's the beginning of life. And so often, this man is busy. This man has his four sons. This man is working. This man, occupation here, he's probably sustaining his livelihood with these oxen and everything else. And he's willing to give him that field. And so he's willing to give David what he has. I have to ask myself, are we willing? If God would ask of us something, would we be willing to give God what he asked of us? I think of, in the Word of God, think of the little boy with the two loaves of bread and the five fish. He gave what he had. And people thought, well, that's such a small thing. There's nothing that can materialize out of that. But see, he gave what he had because he gave what he had. And, it might be kind of hard for how many have teenagers in the house? How many find out they don't just eat, they graze? I've seen them eat, a good meal and turn around. And I've said this to them. I said, and in 10 minutes, just about when the dishes were done, they said they were hungry. And I said, there is no way. I watched you eat. But they are hungry, and just they graze. But, this young man was willing to give up his lunch. This little boy is willing to give up his lunch. And even one disciple kind of made fun of him. That it's so little of lunch, but he gave what he had. Are you following me? And because of that, many people were blessed. We think of the Word of God. I think of people that really accomplished something for God, and there's something about they're willing to give what they have. What God has given them, they're willing to give back to Him. Otherwise, they don't own it. God owns it. And he asked for the land. This man was willing to give him the land just for sake of thinking. This is an interesting portion of land that it ends up to be in the end. If you follow this very same portion of land that Ornan has, this is what takes place. Isaac was offered right here on top of this mount. Later, Solomon builds his temple right here on top of that mount. Listen to this. Are you ready for that? Right now, the Dome of the Rock in Israel is on that mount. Guess what? Someday, God says he's going to build the tabernacle again, and it's going to be right there. Guess where? On that rock. There's something significant about that. And where do you think Christ died? Where would you say? On that rock, that's right. I mean, I don't think that's coincidence. That might be God, why God, that part of the land was so sacred. That little hill was so sacred to God. He knew all these things were going to materialize and take place. But they Ornan didn't know that. And it may be what God's asking you to give. There's huge blessings ahead, and you don't know how it's going to be or who it's going to touch until you give it. Are you following me? You know, wasn't that, didn't the choir do a great job today? Wasn't that a great choir song? And the offering, wasn't that a great offering? And Brother Allen, wasn't that a great special he played? You know, that blessed my heart. And now, because of their giving, it's not easy to come up here and play in front of people and sing in front of people and speak in front of people. I mean, you ought to come up here and look out there. It's not easy. But, you know, because people are willing to give what God has given them and share that with us, we are blessed and we are touched. You don't know. Hey, I have songs that when I hear that song, I just stand in awe. Any of you have songs like that? I mean, they stop me. There's a song, Who Will Go to America? I don't know if I've ever heard it that I don't stop. I mean, it's like the Pledge of Allegiance to me. It just stops me. And I ponder that song. And so people who sing it, you know, I'm glad that they rendered a gift. Anything you do for the Lord, it's going to take, you got to give that thing. God might ask you to give that. He may ask you to give your voice. He may ask you to give your talent. Are you following me? It's not, you know, He may ask you to give your money, but it's not just about money. I mean, Ornan wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about, you know what? This thing, if this thing can help, I give it to you. And he willingly give it. I think that's the key. I think God looks for us to be people who are willing to give something. Are you following me? Not have to give. Want to and willing to give and render it unto the Lord and ask God to do something with it. It may be some talent that you have. You know, I know how to get another talent. Hey, Mrs. Besnett, you're not a hillbilly, are you? You know, but you play like a hillbilly. She's not a hillbilly. Why do I say that? Because my former pastor was a hillbilly, and he could play piano, he'd pick up guitar, he'd play guitar, he plays mandolin, anything with strings, he could pick it up and play. Hillbillies seem to be able to do that. Brother Allen's a hillbilly. You know, that's just born. But it amazes me. But I've been so blessed by people who have taken time to invest their life. And God, what happens is they used one talent and God gave them another talent and another talent. Are you following me? You don't know. You say, I wish I could play, but you may not. if you can play the kazoo, start there. Hey, maybe you can only start by playing the radio. Start there. But you don't know until you render unto God what you have. Are you following me? And you know what? I was blessed by our team singing today. Hey, you guys did a good job. And they sang an adult class, you know. And, you know, they got up there and they sang. Listen, for teens to get up and sing. But you know who they are? They're our piano players and our singers. Amen? And they're allowing God right now. They're giving of what they have right now. And we don't know where that might lead, you know. I mean, who knows their future? I say all this because, you know, we see this over and over. One of my favorite heroes, I've mentioned George Mueller. One of the secrets, they asked George Mueller, what's a secret to your life? George Mueller, who fed thousands of orphans. George Mueller, in his retirement days, listen to this, who gave away thousands and thousands of dollars. I hope I can do that. You say, no, I hope that God lets me do that. George Mueller, he supported missionaries, he supported orphanages, all this, and he went to God and asked God. He never begged people. He was not a manipulator. He wasn't a con man. He went to God, and God allowed him to channel thousands and thousands of dollars through his hands. I think that's phenomenal. you know, our prayer here at church for years. God, allow me to let $1 million pass through my hands. $1 million. Guess what? Years back now, through our missions program, just our missions, over $1 million through our church has been given. Now, we're not a huge, big church. That just blows my mind. And you know, and that was my life's dream before I died. I kind of moved it up to 2. You know, I said, Lord, I'm too young to go yet. that was a life goal. But George Mueller, they asked a secret. George Mueller, what's your secret? George Mueller said this, and I got to admit, this I had a hard time with. There was a day when I died. I died to approval of people. I died to their opinions. I died to critics. And I died to applause. That was the day that George Mueller died. Now, my problem is, I die. It's kind of like offering yourself in Romans there, a living sacrifice. You know the trouble with a living sacrifice? He can crawl off. And there's, you know, it's hard, you know, give yourself to the Lord. And then what happens is it's hard sometimes to stay that way. Are you following me? George Mueller's, that was his secret to God blessing him in a great way. You get the idea that these people that are used of God, they're not afraid to give what God has given them. Are you following me? Now, he asked, David only asked for the threshing floor. He only asked for it. When I think about that, he was just asking for that area. He wasn't asking for anything else. The second point is this. Don't worry, I only have 10 and you can go home. Nah, just keep you a little bit. The second point is this, though. That God, first one was this. God wanted Ornan what Ornan had. God has a right to ask beyond your salvation. As Ornan was a busy man, God asked him beyond his salvation, asked him for something. But the second point is this. Ornan gave more than God asked. He gave more. You know, he wasn't worried about, you know, doing too much for God. He gave God what he asked. But you know, in our text that we read, and we picked that text for two reasons, because it said that he gave all. You know, he not only gave him the threshing floor, but he said this. He said, David, you can take the instruments, you can take the oxen, and you can take the wheat. Now, he didn't ask for that. You can have it all, by the way. And he did not want paid for it. Are you following me? So Ornan, his livelihood there, he was willing to walk away from. I said the oxen. One of the things that I wanted to find out, well, maybe some of you connected to the Amish, you might answer this, but I wanted the answer of this. I wanted the answer of these oxen. Would it be Bill and Barb? Bill and Bob, Barb, I picked those for the oxen. The name of the animal. I mean, how many would offer, would you offer your dog? Would you offer Fifi? That wouldn't be hard for me to offer a cat. But I think it would be insulting God. But I mean, something that you love, something that you needed, would you offer that? You see what I'm saying? So these were animals, these oxen with their livelihoods. And you can get very friendly with an animal. I mean, they become your pets. I shared with you one time, Melissa was raising two steers, and one of them, they were in the barn, and I was backing out one morning, and it was early in the morning, and she was in there feeding them and rubbing them down and everything, and I just saw her come out of the barn, and I pulled it back in to drive and flagged her over, and I said, hey, you weren't riding one of those steers, were you? She said, I said, don't do that. Especially don't do it in the barn. Just one of those instincts, you know, of parents, like, because that's probably what I would do. And so, yeah, but you know, you get close to animals. And I thought about 4-H. That's kind of hard. We have a lot of people do 4-H, and I think 4-H is a good program. But you know, you have those animals, and then you take them and sell them. That's hard. Till you get the money, that helps. But you know, that's you can get close to animals. But you get close to animals that help you make a living. You get close to animals, you know, that you're out in a field with and you're working with those animals and they're making your day easier by being obedient. You know, and you've got them trained in that. That means a lot. I say all that for he was willing to give that up. Are you following me? It was something that would be a high price. It was a high value. Matter of fact, in the Word of God, it was worth 600 pieces of gold that David gave him for all this. Ornan was willing to walk away from it all. I mean, he didn't want anything. And God and David said, no. And if you read it real close, David said this. David said, no, I won't offer God something that didn't cost me anything. Boy, David sets a tremendous example, doesn't he? And David pays for it, and they offer that sacrifice, and it stops the plague that's in the land. Well, I say that for this. If you would look in people's lives that have blessed us, you know, Ornan's life has blessed us today to see his willingness to give beyond just what God asked. We think about the disciples. We read in Matthew, we found out that he closed up his books and left all. We read about the other disciples. You know, they left their nets. They left their ship. Now, if I was a father of these men, and these are grown fishermen who finally, you know, they can earn their salt. They're doing more than just eating at home. They're out there working. They're laboring. They're men. They're strong. They can help. And they're leaving home. I said, Jesus, are you sure? But they were willing to give them up because they gave them up. You know what? We are blessed because of their lives. They were picked for a reason. And they gave up all. And they acknowledged that. They gave up. Lord, what do you have for a week? Giving up everything to follow you. You see that little step beyond? That's the spirit of Ornan. You know, I got thinking about it, though. Doesn't God own it all anyway? I'll tell you, I told a guy this, and it was a preacher. He was talking about his car. I said, that car doesn't belong to you anyway. He said, oh, it belongs to me. I thought, you need to get rid of that car. That car needs to belong to God. See, when you own it, but if God owns it, that's something else. Are you following me? Give it to the Lord. And when we take claim to things, we're in big trouble. So God owns it all anyway. We might as well give it to him. And I think there's something about that when we willingly, that heart, that in that thing, when we willingly, not have to, but willingly give it to the Lord, that honors our God. He loves those free will offerings. Not the kind that you're breaking your arm for applause of men. I've been in some camp meetings that I abhor some of the offerings. Some of them have, you know, they got a big bucket and they pass that bucket around, you know. And I know what they mean, but it just, I don't like people to be able to say, I'll give 1,000. So he said, I'll give 2,500. I don't like, you know what you should, it's between you and God. And the Lord says not to let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to know, but it means you're not to give it where you're tooting your own horn. Give it, because God wants that heart. You know, there is a preacher. Some of you know his name. Maybe I'm going to tell the story, and then maybe you'll know his name. Maybe you never heard the story of this man, but he's a young guy. He's on the radio. And well, he's a fireball. He's old caliber. We don't hear him much of today. You don't hear him much yelling and spitting, you know, under the third pew, you know, and just, you know, he's excited man. God, he's on the radio. How many of you ever heard Harold Seidler? Heard him? I used to Harold Seidler, I'd turn him on just to hear him cut loose. I just enjoyed hearing somebody preach their heart out. I mean, he just preached his heart out. He's in glory land now. This is a young man like another, but he's a young guy. He's given his story. And somebody sent him to, interesting, he sent him to camp. They sent him to camp. They paid his way to camp. They sent him to camp. He said, I hate it. I don't want to go to camp. Last thing I want to do is go to camp. He wasn't allowed, and he looked at the list of what wasn't allowed to take to camp. He said, I don't want to go to that camp. He got to camp, and guess what? On Monday, you know what he thought about camp? What do you think he thought about camp? First day of camp. That's right. He hated it. He didn't like it. He wanted out of this. And what is this preaching stuff all the time, you know? And memory stuff. You know, he wanted out of camp. He didn't want to go to camp. But somewhere in camp, and he said, Tuesday, he was, hey, believe it or not, it was a song. Somebody was singing a song, a gospel song, and that song got a hold of his heart. I mean, it gripped his soul, and it began to speak to him. God, he said, you know, I've never experienced that before. I felt something was happening in that service. Make a long story short, in that service, he got saved. I'm just gonna tell you who it is. It's Sammy Vellini. Sammy Vellini. And some of you have told me that you listen to him on the radio. Now, I don't listen. I'm coming to church then. I'm in church. They're driving to church, listening to him on the radio coming in. It's Sam Vellini. And he's giving his testimony. And he is talking about that he got saved at that camp. And boy, he sold out. He gave his all to God. He decided God got all of him that day. How about that? He just said, you know, the gospel was closed to him, and somehow that in that camp, gospel was open. He got saved. Here's what he did. His testimony. He took his Bible, and he took it. He's in high school, and he took it to school every day that he went to high school. He took a Bible. I mean, he went to lunch, put the Bible down on his desk or on the lunch table. He went to class, he put the Bible on the table. Everywhere he carried his Bible. One day, he said people mocked him, people said ridiculed him, people said all kinds of things about him. He said the cheerleaders got together and mocked him. All of them got together and mocked him. He said one day he's walking down the hall and a guy came up and flipped his Bible right out and knocked it on the ground. He said, you know, not too long ago, a guy do that, I would just deck him. But he said, God got a hold of him, and he didn't cuss him out. He didn't get mad at him. He just picked his Bible up and went on his way. Listen to this. A week later, that same guy that knocked his Bible out of his hand came up to him and started talking to him. And he said, come here, I want to talk to you. And he thinks, oh no, here I go again. Took him over there, and he reached in his back pocket, and he pulled out a little Gideon's Bible. He said, I got saved last night. You know, Sammy Vellini was an excellent basketball player. Devini, is it Devini? We'll call him Sammy. I'll stick with him. We'll call him Sammy. He was an excellent basketball player. They want him to come out. He's getting ready to play basketball. And here's what happened. They had some things scheduled, and he had it scheduled. By the way, I didn't tell you, he got in church. He got baptized. He's serving the Lord in church. And they had a revival meeting, and he committed to not missing any of that revival meeting. And it started on Monday, and that was also when they were going to meet with the basketball. And he decided this. You know what? He said, I decided I'm going to go to that meeting rather than play basketball. That's a pretty big commitment for somebody. I mean, he was hoping to get a scholarship. He was hoping to really a lot with basketball. But he said, you know what? I'm going to give this thing to the Lord. I'm going to go to that revival meeting. Never did play basketball. But later, as he graduated, as he walked across the platform, carrying his Bible, walked across the platform, and he said, you know, I'm thinking of a president, but it's not a president, principal. The principal never hardly acknowledged anybody. They had a lot of graduates. They didn't have time to do a lot of things. But he said, when I came up, he said he stopped. He stopped the whole show, put his hand on him, shook his hand, gave him his diploma, and said this, we're going to miss you around here. We're going to miss you. And he said, that may not sound like a lot, but it sounded like a lot to me. Because he didn't hear a whole lot of good things. He had a whole lot of criticism for trying to be a Christian and trying to live for the Lord in a public school. Here's what happens. God called him to preach, and he's pastoring to this day, and we can hear him on the radio in the morning. I took the time. I heard of this guy, and people were listening to him, and then I pulled him up, and then I heard the testimony of his life, and I just gave it to you. And this guy's still preaching away. You know what he said, though? He said this. He said there was a day when Sam gave his life to the Lord. and he gave his all. That's the key. God doesn't want to take it. God wants us to give it to him. How many of you are married? We're married. Hey, you married because you have to stay with her? How long have you been married? 52 years. So 52, you just married because you don't want to make 53, and that's just it. Nah. You're with her because you love her. You love her and you want to stay with her. And that honors her. That honors her. And you know what? We honor God because we want to serve him. Now, everybody's a little different. Each person has something different than somebody else. There's something unique about you, something that you can offer unto the Lord. You know, you may not know what it is. Take it to God. Say, God, what can I do? What talent might I have that I can render unto you? And give it to the Lord. When you give it to the Lord, that's what he doesn't want to take it. He wants you to give it. But Ornan set a wonderful example. You don't hear him mentioned much in the Bible. But he was a great man. He said that he gave it all. He said, you know, Lord, you can take the oxen. You can take the threshing instruments. You can have the field. and you can have the wheat. And you can have it all and offer it unto the Lord. And he walked away thinking, he's broke. You know, he's walking away thinking, I'm broke. And David said, no, come here. And handed him 600 shekels of gold. Wow. I don't know what all that amounted to in that time, but it sure sounds like a good bit. And I'm sure that it more than took care of that offering. Isn't that like our God? You know what I found out? You know what your preachers found out? Your preachers found out that God always has a bigger bucket than I give. I give something, and I've always seen God give more back than what I've given. Now, I'm not health and wealth type preacher, giving your, nothing, you're never going to have any problems, and you're going to be healthy and never have a cold, just give. I'm not like that, but I'm telling you, I find God's grace, it always goes deeper, doesn't it? He's a wonderful God. How many believe you have some things that you don't deserve? What if we only got what we deserved? Oh, boy. Isn't God pretty good to us? Stand with me, please. Let's take a moment before we leave here today and ask you a question. You know, if there's some doubt in your life where you'd spend eternity, please today, please settle that. Please, in a moment we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask you to come in that first verse. I'm going to ask you to come and say, you know, preacher, this morning I need to settle some things. And I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure from the Word of God. And I've settled in my heart where I'd spend eternity if today I die. And second, you know you're saved. Would you ask the Lord, say, Lord, I want to willingly give you my all. I want to willingly. You'll never regret that, giving your all. But we may regret just giving him maybe, minuscule portion of our life. We're saved. We won't give him willingly any more than that. I pray that we would render unto our great God what he's speaking to us about. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, today we bow before you. We ask for your help in this invitation. Please, our Lord, speak to our lives as only you may. Freely and mightily move in our hearts and our life. And once again, God, I've asked you to work beyond what ability of words can communicate. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to operate on each of us. And God, speak to us about some things today in our life that needs to be straightened out. I pray that you'd mightily move. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.